Greetings, human beings, and welcome back to Apartment 303, a podcast for community fans. My name is Dave, and alongside my co-host Adam, we are here today to officially sort through the Season 3 regional bracket as hashtag six seasons in a bracket continues. Joining us now in Apartment 303 to help us sort out the Season 3 region bracket is Kevin from the Advanced Community Studies podcast. I know most of our listeners are probably quite familiar with your work already, but for those who may not be, Kevin, welcome to the show. Can you please tell us a little bit about yourself and about your show?
Sure, I'd be happy to. As you said, my name is Kevin. I am a writer and a filmmaker here in Brooklyn, New York. And every week, myself and my friends Caleb and Jace and I do the Advanced Community Studies podcast, where we watch and rank community one or two episodes at a time. As of when we're recording this, we are just kicking off our season four coverage, the gas leak year coverage, as it were.
I will say that I did not necessarily plan it that way, but am very excited that it has lined up, that we have you on deck today to talk about what sounds like has been most of your recent content. So you said on your show, you guys go through a few episodes at a time. You're starting to get into season four. Tell me a little bit about how you guys do your rankings or how you handle those considerations.
Sure. So we rank both episodes and end tags, and those are separate broken out rankings, and I can tell you like the average ranking of every season so far. But it's really just based on the personal taste, and the three of us have to come to some manner of consensus. And as we go on, it just gets more and more like contentious, especially if one of us has an odd favorite that is not sort of in that community pantheon. Like what I remember, I'm a big champion. My all-time favorite episode is Mixology Certification, the episode where they all go to a bar, in case everyone doesn't know the episode names. That's my favorite community episode of all time. So I fought and fought to like get that up there and keep that up there. And it was our number one for quite some time on the rankings list.
So before we get into the actual matchups for the Season 3 bracket, one of the things I wanted to ask you was, there are obviously more than 16 episodes in Season 3. We made our brackets based off of IMDb rankings. So are there any bubble teams, any episodes from Season 3 you feel deserve to be in this top 16? And likewise, any that are, you know, in this top 16 that you would take out?
So there aren't any bad episodes in this spread. There are some I favor more than others, but there are like four I would get rid of in a heartbeat to get in the one that I would like to champion. It's simply, you know, these rankings are good, and they are the IMDb ratings, I believe. And so these are all very, I think, disproportionately weighted to genre episodes and homage and reference episodes. But from season three, an underrated gem is Urban Matrimony and the Sandwich Arts, which is the episode where Shirley and Andre get remarried, Troy and Abed attempt to be normal, and is also the one where Britta realizes she's incredible at wedding planning.
And can't handle Jeff, that, yeah.
Yeah, and she and Jeff almost get married for the second of three times throughout the show. They come very close to getting married three different times.
But yeah, I could definitely see a case for having that in there. What would you take out?
I would probably take out the number 15 seed, course listing unavailable, which is the Starburns funeral episode, which is not a bad episode, and as someone that like just talked about it a few weeks ago, there's a lot of good jokes in the first half of the episode. The standout for me is like Abed describes meeting a one-armed man, and Troy says, how one-armed was he? And keeps, like, walking up his arm and getting more excited. But the second half doesn't really do much for me. And I would, given the chance, sub in Urban Matrimony in the Sandwich Arts.
Yeah, I think that's a fair swap. Adam, what are your thoughts on that?
I like that episode quite a bit. And, you know, as Kevin said, none of these are bad episodes. A bad episode of Community beats a good episode of any other sitcom. So if we start with that, you know, it makes sense. Is this the one? I think that's the episode where they do the gag when Britta offers to plan Shirley's wedding. And it cuts to a screen of text that says, like, 2 full minutes later and Shirley's still laughing. That's one of my all-time underrated gags in the entire show, and it's just perfect.
Yeah, so that definitely was not... I don't think that was the one that I selected when we discussed our bubble episodes, but I definitely think there's a case to be made for that one to be included here. So without further ado, let's get into the actual matchups. We're gonna start off, theoretically, with some softballs before we get into some harder stuff, but... Here in the very first matchup, we have the number one seed, Remedial Chaos Theory, going up against the number 16 seed, Biology 101. Adam, who you got?
So we recently went over which episode was the best season premiere. Biology 101 is a good episode, comparing it amongst those first episodes to kick off a season. It introduces Dr. Kane, who's terrific. And a lot goes right in that episode. I like the episode. I'll stand by it. But Remedial Chaos Theory is a juggernaut here. And it's not particularly close for me. Remedial Chaos Theory moves on.
I would have to say I agree. This matchup is a little tough because it does feel like Remedial Chaos Theory might steamroll the whole competition. But we'll have to see how that plays out. Biology 101, as much as I love John Goodman's speech about From Nostril to Rectum or the musical opener, it doesn't stand a chance. Remedial Chaos Theory is going to run all over the court on them.
I'm so glad that you brought up that musical number, because that one gets lost, I think, in a lot of people's memories. Like, it's so terrific for them to just come out and sing basically all of the criticism that they've got is just a giant middle finger, and to have an Oscar winner and a registered doctor dance in those ridiculous outfits is just like, yeah, that's what this show's all about.
Since we discussed that episode, I've had that stuck in my head and have had multiple mornings where that is playing in my head as I'm like getting ready for my day. So I thank you for that for sure. So I think we all agree Biology 101. Probably a little underrated as a 16 seed, but Remedial Chaos Theory definitely goes on here. The next matchup we're going to look at is the 8 versus the 9, which in theory should be a little bit closer, but we have as the 8 seed, First Chang Dynasty, going up against Horror Fiction in 7 Spooky Steps as the 9 seed. Kevin, you want to start us off on this one?
You are right that this is remarkably closer and are very close on my show's rankings. I just check them just to like see how close they are, and they're within a few spots of each other on like a 70 some odd list. It's close because I love goth Jeff and Britta with my entire heart and soul, but the Horror Fiction episode is just killer bit after killer bit for the entire length of the episode. So I would have to vote for Horror Fiction in 7 Spooky Steps.
This is one where, and I'm guilty of it as much as anybody is, part of my rankings come from outside of the actual episodes. So with respect to the First Chang Dynasty, actually, Kevin, I was listening to your guys' podcast, and it was so much fun to listen to you guys talk about it and how much you love it. So like that brings it up for me. But we also had our friend Jen was on the show to talk about the Horror Fiction 7 Spooky Steps. So, like, I've got these outside factors playing in. Overall, though, definitely agree with you that Horror Fiction and 7 Spooky Steps is the better of the two episodes in a pretty close one, like you said.
It's not nearly as close for me as it is for you guys, but it is definitely a clean sweep that is one of my favorite episodes overall, not just out of the Halloween episodes. So horror fiction moves on. Now in our 5-12 matchup, we've got Pillows and Blankets as the 5 seed going up against the 12 seed of Virtual Systems Analysis. What do you think, Adam?
For this one, I know traditionally the 5-12 is a place to look for an upset in a college basketball bracket. I don't have one here. Pillows and Blankets is an incredible episode for so many reasons. It's very near and dear to my heart. It feels underrated as a 5 seed, to be perfectly honest. Really love it. Virtual Systems Analysis has its charms, but there's also aspects of it that I actively dislike, even though it's, you know, kind of from a point to make Abed a more full character, and he's not just this person that everyone likes all of the time. He's got another side to him that is more human and less robot. So that was my takeaway. What about you, Kevin? What do you think?
Yeah, you know, Virtual Systems Analysis, I remember watching that live as the show was going on and just like marveling with everyone else in the room that like I'd never really seen anything like this on television before. Like truly, like they're going this deep in, it's an episode within two characters' minds, like this weird like danger room holodeck sort of episode. But Pillows and Blankets is unassailable. It's hilarious, but also like emotionally devastating, and they give a pitch perfect parody of the Ken Burns documentary style. They even get Keith David, who is an actual narrator of those documentaries. It's Pillows and Blankets.
I'm pretty sure it was Elroy Potashnik actually who narrated that, right?
Who narrated it? That's why he denies being on the cape, because it was not Keith David. It was Elroy Potashnik.
Absolutely. Exactly. Yeah, that moves on for me. Virtual Systems Analysis is a great episode, but when it comes to rewatch value for me, it is not in the same ballpark as Pillows and Blankets. You know, even though I do really enjoy it so much from just the perspective of loving Abed as a character. So we've got the 4 seed now going up against the 13, and the 4 is Digital Estate Planning, and the 13 is Foosball and Nocturnal Vigilantism. What do you think, Kevin?
So, Digital Estate Planning seems very high for me, like a number 4 seed. And it's not that I don't like that episode. It's the funny, you know, video game episode.
Agreed.
But
it feels a little high.
It feels like higher than Pillows and Blankets, like higher than horror fiction. I get it. You know, people rating on IMDb have a particular like set of things they enjoy, and that's okay. And as much as I argue maybe with its seed placement, it is going to edge out Foosball for me. Foosball is a good episode. I like a Jeff and Shirley episode, and I think this is a rather strong one. You know, the intro of the Germans, Abed returning as Batman. There's a lot of good jokes in there, but on the whole, you know, I gotta side with Digital Estate Planning.
Enough Teutonic punnery. yeah, to have Nick Kroll in an episode, fabulous. All of the jokes at the expense of Germans and the German language make me laugh. The fact that Shirley and Jeff react to them in real time is also pretty fun. But for me, Digital Estate Planning is definitely the winner there. I have a feeling I enjoy that episode more than the other two folks here on this here podcast. Which we'll see how that goes down the road.
Well, I'm certainly no Deutsch bag, that's for sure.
Yeah.
I do enjoy many $25 bits, but yeah, Digital Estate Planning is definitely the play here. I'm excited and nervous because so far it's been pretty unanimous, and we'll see how much longer that goes.
We should form a United Nations.
Oh dear! Let's not get into the Earth 1 and 2 thing again on this podcast.
Does not make the cut of this bracket. No.
Yeah. That was the one we argued in the bubble episode that should have been in.
I like that one quite a bit. There's one scene that like makes me want to catapult myself into the sun, but the rest of the episode is like very funny and very solid.
Yep.
Yeah. Should definitely be in here, but in the meantime, it is not, and we have the 6 versus 11 matchup. The 6 seed is Curriculum, unavailable, and the 11th seed is Studies in Modern Movement. Adam, you want to kick this one off?
This is a heartbreaking first round matchup. Oh my gosh. I love both of these episodes so much. Curriculum Unavailable is the second of the clip episodes in Community. And again, this is the other one I think that, Kevin, you were reviewing on the podcast, or at least one of the ones that I listened to. And I think you'll agree with me, hopefully, that this is the episode that moves on. But before I do that, gosh, Studies in Modern Movement is incredible. Funniest thing in my entire life was when I was actually in Iceland waiting for it to be dark enough to go check out the Northern Lights. And there are four radio stations on the entire island. And one of them is an English music station. And as I'm driving out there, they play Kiss for a Rose. And I have to pull over to the side of the road because I'm just thinking of the Dean and Jeff singing it karaoke. And I almost got killed that night because of how funny this episode of Community was.
And then you picked up a hitchhiker who was, in fact, the Lord Jesus Christ.
How did
who
you
loves
know?
Drinking human blood. Exactly.
Exactly. All right. What do you think, Kevin? Where do you weigh in on this matchup?
It's also a very close one for me, because that Kiss from a Rose, Jesus Loves Marijuana musical sequence, and the visuals at play, and the beatboxing while they're doing Horsebot 3000 shadow plays and things like that is all that is remarkably good. But as an episode, as a whole piece, I do gotta give it to Curriculum Unavailable with guest star John Hodgman. And yep. I think I argued this on the episode. It might be Donald Glover's funniest episode. And he's always funny. But he has just like five back-to-back mega jokes that kill me every time. It's Curriculum for me.
Before we move on, though, I do have to ask, because I know that you all rate the tags as well as the episodes, the Horsebot 3000 tag, where does that rate for you all?
Oh, let me pull that up. Horsebot 3000 is our current number 25.
Wow.
Which is pretty good out of, you know, that's the top third of 70, our current list. Yeah.
I really like when Jeff gets honestly emotional. He really liked Horsebot 3000. Yeah. So Curriculum Unavailable moves on because you guys decided that, so I don't need to put my thumb on the scale, although had I would have disagreed with both of you here. Curriculum Unavailable I like so much less than the first clip show. You guys listed a lot of reasons that you were high on Studies in Modern Movement, but I think the biggest factor for me was when Curriculum Unavailable came out, it was in that, I know the show went through many periods of real life time where, you know, it was uncertain. But for me, that was really the hardest point in the show, where it was like they didn't know if they were coming back. They didn't know what they were doing. And so I've always just been really sour on that episode. But it moves on to the next round, and it will move on to face the winner of our next matchup, which is the 3 seed, Basic Lupine Urology, versus the 14 seed, Digital Exploration of Interior Design.
For me, Basic Lupine Urology is an incredible episode. I don't even like Law and Order very much. Like, I watched fewer than 12 minutes of it in my entire life. But it's just done so well. And the Troy and Abed good cop, bad cop thing is hysterical. And out of all of the things that they do and say together, that's got to be one of my favorite during the body of an episode rather than, you know, the tag at the end. So for me, Basic Lupine Urology, no big upset here.
All right, so this is the first moment where I'm gonna catch some shit. So I like Basic Lupine Urology, like one of the funniest episodes of Community, just on a pound for pound, joke for joke basis. But I like my Community with a little more meat on its bones. I like when it challenges the characters or asks a moral or character question upon them. And Digital Exploration of Interior Design has the beginning of the Troy and Abed pillow fight, like setting up all the emotional groundwork for that, and also has this remarkable Britta and Subway plot, where through a surprisingly legal process called corpo humanization, a man has become the entity of Subway, and he and Britta engage in a 1984 forbidden love plot. And I am just so over the moon with that plot that my vote will be digital exploration of interior design.
I knew all of those things before you said them, and I was very predisposed to siding with Adam. But after having heard you talk about that episode, I'm definitely going to have to go with the digital exploration of interior design here. I'm sorry, Adam.
It's okay. I forgot to defend that one in my self-rebuttal.
That's okay. Kevin covered it for all of us. Yeah. That was very well said. Yeah, I love all the aspects of that, you know, the different layers. Urology is great all the way through. And I don't think it's necessarily for people who watch Law & Order. I think, Adam, what you said at the beginning is exactly who the joke is for. People who, you know, have maybe seen 10 minutes of it and know the notes, but that's it. So, all right, we're getting down to the bottom here of this first round, and we're going to talk about the 7-10, the 7 seed being documentary filmmaking redo, and the 10 being intro to finality. What do you think, Kevin?
I have nothing against intro to finality. Of the four times Community ended a season not knowing if there would be another one, it's one of the better times where they pull off that kind of finale, kind of not. But for me, it's documentary filmmaking redo all the way. The first true Dean Craig Pelton episode, a parody of Hearts of Darkness, the great documentary that accompanies Apocalypse Now, and just has so many great gags and visual moments that I it's got to be documentary filmmaking for me.
I agree everything you said about introduction to finality. I like that it ends with the 88. At least it was here. It walks that line of, hey, we can come back from this, or if we don't, this could be the end and everyone would be satisfied with it. That said, documentary filmmaking is definitely the winner here. And it's where we got the entire premise for ranking these episodes. This is the IMDb episode in which Annie hands to Dean the phone so that she can kind of lend a lifeline or a life preserver to Dean Pelton, who's fishing for something that Luis Guzman was in, and he ends up saying that you were terrific in IMDb, which was tragic, as we know, but hard to argue with the entire premise for our bracket here.
And ultimately, Luis Guzman kind of wins the episode, takes the high ground, teaches Dean Pelton a thing or two, right? Maybe even Abed, but definitely no argument for me on that front. So let's get into the 2 versus the 15. As the 2, we've got regional holiday music, and then as the 15, we have course listing unavailable. Adam, who you got?
For me, regional holiday music wins out here. It's such, at risk of a trite term, it's so gleeful, and in the best ways, in the worst ways, and in the worst ways, it's making fun of Glee. So for me, that's a pretty easy winner. I know it is a Christmas-themed episode. To me, it's one that you could watch, though, at any point in time during the year and really enjoy something from that. In terms of course listing unavailable, that sort of gets to, and this is just a personal issue that I have with it, I guess, is just the Chang dynasty taking over Greendale. And that's just not particularly a storyline that I love, but I'm sure someone could defend it eloquently if so, if they were asked to do so.
I would be curious to find who that person is, because it will not be me. It's regional holiday music and a pretty easy blowout.
Yeah, of course, listing unavailable was the one you said you would actually have not even had in the top 16, right?
Exactly. That is correct.
That was also one that I am not fond of at all, so I think that's a clean sweep. All right, so the first round, nothing gets too tricky, but now we're going to get into the second round. And if you guys don't mind, I'm going to just kind of work our way back up. So
sure.
We have regional holiday music now going up against documentary filmmaking.
This is a significantly harder matchup than either of the two that they came from. And gosh, do I love Jeff playing the Dean, and so much so that it taps into his insecurity about being told he's not right for the part, even though he's the whole thing is just based on him not wanting to do work. But then he actually gets to the point where he's getting notoriety and he attaches to that, and that just goes away. And, you know, his understudy has to take over, and we almost never heard his story. All of that is magnificent, terrific. I love it. I still just have to go with regional holiday music. I promise I can get it out. I just, boy, that episode, to have
Taron Killam.
Yeah. To have Taron Killam come on. I don't know if there's a better cameo role, singular, than him as Mr. Rad. I think he's perfect for the part, and I think that makes the episode go on for me. Regionals over redo.
This is also a remarkably close one for me. It's truly neck and neck, but if I set the scales and I weigh what is more effective to me, is it things that make me feel smart for having gone to film school and getting these references, or is it silly holiday songs? It is silly holiday songs, and the several perfect comedic moments, but one of which, perhaps the standout of which, is Alison Brie's finest performance as the silly yep. Christmas baby that slays me. It's so funny every year. Or I'd be lying if I say I'd only watched it once a year. Every 6 months when I rewatch this episode, kills me every time. So regional
mistletoe for Edie tastes good.
You smarty, me dumb. It's just so it's beautiful. She's great.
Yeah, everything about that episode is great. I think our last guest sang "Baby Boomer Santa" when they were on the show. So
sounds like regionals definitely.
It sticks with people.
Moves on there for sure.
I wouldn't besmirch anyone who moved on redo, though. That's I have no, there's no shame in picking the other one there.
All right. Absolutely. So we've got Curriculum Unavailable now going up against Digital Exploration of Interior Design.
Can I defer on this one? I'll go second.
Oh, I was going to ask for a deferment. So I will. You deferred first. You took the preeminent deferment.
You are the guest, and I will honor that. We'd love to have you back sometime, so I have to...
Oh, of course.
I have to butter you up a little bit here. This is tough. So, in my bracket, I did have basic lupine urology, but, again, with the Subway episode taking its place, gosh, it's just terrific. And even more than being funny, it's this terrific biting criticism of, you know, you mentioned corporal humanization. You have to kind of think, is that a thing that happens? Did Dan Harmon make this up, or is this real? You know, so you don't know. And then to watch the original Subway get replaced by somebody else and act like he has the same level of consciousness and memories and everything is unbelievable. It's incredible. For me, though, Curriculum Unavailable is a perfect episode of Community. I don't want to steal your thunder, but that bit where Troy hurts his hand is, and I think that's what you were referring to earlier when you mentioned five home runs in a row for jokes. That to me is incredible. And I've got one more thing to say about it, but I want to see where you are on this matchup here, Kevin.
So I was kind of juggling these as we were building up to this, because I was like, this is going to be tough. And, I was like, maybe depending on whether or not I have to defend my beautiful digital exploration, maybe that will determine my ultimate
sure.
vote. But I will continue to stand this ground. And I will say that not only is it a very good episode, the best product placement I've seen this side of the Lego movie, but it is also something that lays so much, because of this episode, basically, when I pass a Subway sandwich shop, I still have this fond glow that passes over my face as I think about the Community Subway product placements. And this, not only is it a good episode unto itself, but everything in this episode gets paid off later. You know, the pillow and blanket for it obviously unfolds next, but then you have Subway in this episode, so you can have Rick in season six. You know, it introduced a character who's only in two episodes, but I think is a very popular, beloved fan character all the same. And so I will stake my flag on Digital Exploration.
Curriculum Unavailable is probably one of the episodes that Adam and I disagree on the most, so it's probably not going to come as a surprise that, once again, I'm going to come down on the side with Kevin here on Digital Exploration of Interior Design. Going back up into the higher parts of the second round of the bracket here, we now have Pillows and Blankets facing off against Digital Estate Planning, the 4 and the 5.
Wait, hold on one second. Hold on, we can get there, but before we bury Curriculum Unavailable, I have to say the single hardest I've ever laughed in an episode of Community is actually when Britta refers to herself as a psych major and goes for a fist bump with John Hodgman. So I got your back. But then later, he's taking notes and she like cranes her neck to look at his paper and goes, huh. And that for me is the single hardest I've ever laughed in the entire run of the show.
I would like to shout out just a beautiful comedic delivery from Donald Glover in Curriculum when he rides up on the ATV.
Yes.
And proudly declares, good news, guys, I spent all my money. And the laughs that filled the room when that happened were only barely able to dissipate before he says, yes, I can. It's all terrain, dummy. Again, just a pair of beautiful Donald Glover deliveries right there in a row.
All right, so yeah, things get tougher here as these rounds go forward. So Pillows and Blankets versus Digital Estate Planning.
Adam was so nice to go first a few times. I will now go first and say no surprise here. It is Pillows and Blankets by a pillow fort mile. Gonna win this one for me.
So here, as I teased in the first round, is a case where, and again, I love Pillows and Blankets. Terrific episode. For me, there's just something about Digital Estate Planning that really hits. It's probably having played video games growing up. I noticed something different about like the gameplay, quote unquote, every time. The jumps are different. Annie does a jump and horizontally turns around. Troy jumps the highest and he does like a somersault in the air. Britta, if you played Super Mario Brothers 2 on regular Nintendo, Princess Peach does a little floating jump. Britta does that. So that level of detail is like, who would notice? It would take somebody making a podcast about this show to notice that level of detail. And so for me, that's my choice. And again, Pillows and Blankets is incredible as well. So no loser here as far as I'm concerned.
I finally get to side with you here, Adam. I'm going to go Digital Estate Planning. I am a big fan of Pillows and Blankets, even though, you know, by the third time, it's not as fresh as it once was. Nor do I think that arc peaked in that episode. Digital Estate Planning, though, was one of the episodes that's grown on me the most over time. The first time I watched it, it was like, okay, this is another, you know, gimmicky Community thing, one that I certainly identify with, but like you said, every rewatch, there's something else. So it's a close matchup for me, but I go Digital Estate Planning here. Which leaves us with our final matchup in this round. So things are getting tighter and tighter here. And that is Remedial Chaos Theory going up against Horror Fiction in 7 Spooky Steps.
For me, and I mentioned it when we talked on our Halloween episode last year when we had Jen on the show, I thought that in some ways, Horror Fiction might have actually been a precursor for Remedial Chaos Theory, even though I think numerically speaking, that's not right. Horror Fiction comes later. But it's just interesting because Remedial Chaos Theory removes one person from the group at a time and sees what happens. And they just kind of go around in that kind of storytelling manner. So for horror fiction, I guess that's maybe the only similarity, is that it features one person, has the floor at a time, and then tells their story about, you know, what they think is scary. And again, really good episode, like it a lot. Remedial Chaos Theory wins out, though, for me.
These two make for a very interesting matchup, because they are both, like, in seven parts. They both play a lot with perspectives and what each individual study group member brings to the group, or how they view other people in the group. And they work really well as this, like, two-hander piece about the group. But it is Remedial Chaos Theory, 100% all the way.
All right, it is a clean sweep, and we are getting down now to the last few episodes. So let's start where we just left off. We didn't talk much about it. It was a clean sweep. But we've got Remedial Chaos Theory now going up against Digital Estate Planning. How do you guys feel about that matchup?
Not only because it dethroned my beloved Pillows and Blankets, but I now feel a righteous fury in saying that Remedial Chaos Theory will destroy Digital.
You're not
going to
overthrow our podcast and become the leader of our show, right?
Not yet, but we'll see how this bracket shakes out. Yeah, we'll see how the tiebreaker goes. Remedial Chaos Theory, the episode that gave you the title of this podcast is going to have to be the number one for me.
All right, Adam?
I fully appreciate that meta observation right there. This, of course, is the podcast based on the apartment in which Troy and Abed live, introduced to us in Remedial Chaos Theory. As I was watching these episodes,
wait, is it 303 or is it 304?
It's 303. I wrote it down.
So as I'm watching these episodes, as I'm watching Digital Estate Planning, and I'm not even all the way through the episode yet, I realize, I think, oh my gosh, this is the greatest season of television ever made. But part of that was because when I'm watching Remedial Chaos Theory, as we go to the first commercial break, I think, oh my gosh, this is the best episode of television I've ever seen. So Remedial Chaos Theory for me wins, as much as I do love Digital Estate.
All right, so
planning.
We've got regionals against our other digital episode now, Exploration of Interior Design.
Congratulations to the two digitals for making it to...
I didn't see that coming, but it's been hard for me to keep track, extra hard, that it played out that way. Believe that.
I could not say the general words you say for the final four. Oops. The fearsome foursome is what we will call it here. Yes. So, oh man. Adam, do you have one among these you favor strongly?
So... it's tough. And again, my bracket looks different at this point, too. I had Curriculum Unavailable actually going through this matchup. So for me, I am in a, like, it's weird that my bracket doesn't look like this, but I am on the subway train. I think for me, that beats out regionals only because some of the things that you mentioned earlier, right? You're weighing, okay, this is a community homage episode, or they're really sticking it to Glee, or it's a Christmas episode, and none of those things are inherently bad. But when I think about the absolute favorite episodes that I have, it involves something a little bit more universal than what my calendar says. So I love regionals. It's maybe a funnier episode. I think you could argue that. But in terms of the episode I like best, I would go Digital Exploration.
I simply cannot abandon the subway train now. So, a Digital Exploration.
Oh my god. Well. Fucking eat fresh. All right.
Eat fresh.
I'm just going to point out that you said subway train, and that was like not I mean, you're either super brilliant in ways that I'm not, or like that came up organically.
It came up organically.
Oh, what? It came up organically.
All right. So here is where everything gets real. Everything hits the fan now, because the subway train, as it were, is now crashing into Remedial Chaos Theory for the ultimate champion of this season, of this region of the bracket. So where do you guys weigh in here?
Both great episodes. I love them a lot. Almost as much as I love the fact that we just renamed this the Fearsome Foursome. We're running with that. So my vote, Fearsome Foursome, is Remedial Chaos Theory. We've talked a lot about both of these episodes at this point, but it's sometimes there's an episode that's so funny, and not even necessarily an episode, any type of comedy that's so funny that I don't laugh. And this fits that bill. I rewatched it yesterday, and it's just so conceptually hilarious that I'm just like shaking my head in envy or disbelief. It's just that funny for me. And Digital Exploration is all of the things we say it is, but it's not quite that level.
I feel no shame in getting off the subway at this stop. Because what a fight it's had to get to the 14th seed of 16 running up to the number two.
I didn't see it coming.
You know, Rocky went all 15 rounds. He didn't win, but he went all 15 rounds with the champ. He went the distance. So yeah, it's Remedial Chaos Theory. It's one of the finest pieces of writing, directing, acting, visual effects, like in the history of television. Like, it's all working as this perfect Swiss watch. It's a miracle that it's good, that it's not only like arguably the best episode of Community, it's a miracle it makes any sense at all. It's a miracle that you can follow it, that you can like understand what's going on, that they fit it into 21 and a half minutes
and not, right, not having needed to watch the show to understand and follow it. That was the first episode of Community I ever watched.
And then after all that, to stick it with this like incredible end tag, which like we haven't really factored into the episode rankings, but like that's a legendary end tag. The This Year Got Dark, May Pierce Rest in Pierce. You know, like just it's all these hits, the darkest timeline iconography, like it all comes from here. It's Remedial. I'm not surprised. This is what I thought would happen, but there were a lot of upsets along the way to get here, so I feel no shame in awarding the crown.
There certainly were upsets. I hate to go chalk. I'm always disinclined to, and I'm pretty sure that in the other three regions, I do not have the one seed ending up as the last episode standing.
Oh, spoilers.
But in this bracket, I do have the one seed going all the way. It's Remedial Chaos Theory. You know, for all the reasons you guys have talked about, like I just threw in, that was the episode in which I was first introduced to Community, and, you know, has been one of my favorite episodes of anything ever since, and definitely deserves to be the last episode standing here out of a group of really, really strong episodes. That was quite a lot of Community talk, Kevin. We can't thank you enough for coming on. I really appreciated your insight. I really appreciated you getting us on the subway train, the subway wagon, the subway
in the
subway,
foursome, like,
and
yes,
all the different stops, and all of that good stuff. Obviously, we hope everyone checks out your podcast, continues following your work as well. You're welcome back on anytime. Thanks again, man. We really appreciate having you.
No, it's remarkably fun. I'd be happy to come back for whatever. I'm still not sick of talking about Community after all this time, which I think is incredible. So yeah, I'd come back anytime. Thank you for inviting me on for this. This was fun.
All right, that does it for the Season 3 Regional Bracket. Keep an eye out on Twitter for the results and polls for upcoming seasons. And make sure you check out the Advanced Community Studies podcast. As always, Apartment 303 is available wherever you get your podcasts. We will see you in a week for a review and rebuttal of the Season 3 results, and then the following week to hash out the Seasons 4 through 6 bracket with Matt from Communities. For Adam and Kevin, this is Dave signing off. Join us in the next episode of Apartment 303.